This is America Weekend. In a moment, we'll talk with the director of the new documentary called Red Army. But first, let's talk football. The NFL, at last report, was still investigating Deflategate, looking into a locker room attendant from the New England Patriots who took the footballs involved with the AFC Championship game from the official's locker room to another area before the game started. The league has interviewed him and has video of the incident. They're determining if he did anything wrong and consider him a strong person of interest. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady said last week he didn't alter the footballs in any way before the game. The NFL found that 11 of the 12 balls used by the Patriots were altered below NFL regulations for inflation. The investigation is expected to go on for several more weeks. Yesterday, Jay Glazer of Fox Sports added the next new big piece of news to Deflategate. He says the NFL has interviewed a locker room attendant who allegedly took the footballs from the official's locker room after they had been inspected and approved to another area on the way to the field before the start of the game. That other area was a bathroom. According to the same source, the person carried two bags of balls into the bathroom, the 12 balls to be used by the Patriots and the 12 provided by the Colts. Third, the same source said the evidence comes from the surveillance video that was discovered by the Patriots and given to the NFL early in the investigation. The video shows the employee in the bathroom for approximately 90 seconds. A test by the Daily News shows that the balls could be deflated in about 40 seconds and with time to spare. With Super Bowl 49 this Sunday and football becoming the most followed sport in the U.S., the leading personal finance social network, WalletHub, followed up on its Super Bowl 49 in-depth analysis of 2015's best and worst cities for football fans. The worst cities for football fans, for whatever reason, El Paso, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, Lexington, Kentucky, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Colorado Springs, Akron, Ohio, Mobile, Alabama, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the worst place is Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, the best cities for football fans, Minneapolis, Minnesota came in number 10, followed by Boston at 9, Cincinnati, Dallas, San Francisco, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Denver, Colorado, Pittsburgh, PA, East Lansing, Michigan, and the number one city, you guessed it, Green Bay, Wisconsin. The performance level of the NFL team is four times higher in Denver than in Jacksonville, Florida. Let's talk hockey now. Red Army is a new documentary. Director Gabe Polsky, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
This is intriguing to me, the Red Army. Is this like Miracle on Ice, but from the other side of the glass?
Not quite, but it does address the miracle, but it does basically cover the rise and fall of the Soviet Union. So it's a sweeping story, and the Miracle on Ice is a small part of it, and it's addressed in a really unique way, but it's really the story of kind of this dominant sports team and used as a window into kind of the Soviet life and the rise and fall of this great empire. Now, I wouldn't say great, but huge empire. And that's basically what it's about.
Now, you really focus on one particular player, right?
Yeah, Slava Fetisov, who is, you know, one of the most decorated athletes in Soviet history, was captain of the Soviet national team during its dominant period, and you know, he's considered one of the greatest defensemen of all time. He's also a fascinating kind of character study, a guy that he's also right now, he's a senator, a Russian senator, who's minister of sport. Putin asked him to kind of come back after he won two Stanley Cups to kind of run be the minister of sport. So he's an interesting guy.
We're talking with Gabe Polsky, who has directed a new documentary called Red Army. And Fetisov really is responsible for the fact that Soviet players and other European players are playing in the NHL, right?
Yeah, he's a guy that initially was developed in this Soviet system, became a hero, and ultimately later during kind of the Soviet collapse, he had to fight the system, a system that wanted to basically sell him to the West and take all the money he would make, and he didn't like that, and ultimately had to fight the Soviet system and pave the way for like future generations of Russian players in the NHL.
So now you have produced movies in the past, but this is your first directorial effort?
It is the first documentary that I've directed. I directed another film called The Motel Life with my brother that came out last year with Emil Hirsch and Dakota Fanning, but it is my first directing as a documentary. I made another movie called His Way. It was a documentary that I produced about Jerry Weintraub.
What challenges did you face as a first-time director of a documentary?
It's another form, you know. It's like, I guess with like martial arts, you know, there's jujitsu, there's karate, taekwondo. It's a whole other form. So, you know, documentary is another beast, and a lot of stuff I didn't know, and I worked with some great people, and editing is a crucial part of it, because you're basically writing the story after you collect all the footage and interviews, and it's just different in that way. It's a grueling process, and then you're interviewing real people, you know. You can't tell them what to do, and that's kind of a whole other thing as well.
Yeah, I suppose you, in your mind's eye, you're hoping for this type of an answer, because you know that'll go well with the other stuff that you have, the video or whatever, archival footage, and then you don't necessarily get that answer, right?
Yeah, but another way you look at it, you know, it's beautiful when you kind of you have these happy accidents, you know, and I think you got to be open, but you also have to instigate and get really interesting things from these people that you might have never known, because you know, like the audience, you know, you want to be surprised and learn something new that you aren't expecting, you know?
Yeah, so did you, like, bone up on all the Ken Burns documentaries or somebody like him to get an idea of how to do it?
Obviously I watched a lot of documentaries, and, you know, a lot of it's sort of intuition, and, you know, if I really respond to certain sequences or material, then there's a good chance a lot of other people will, too. You know, I've got ADD, you know, so it takes a lot to get me interested. So I kind of just, that was my rule of thumb. If this really intrigues me, especially after watching it, you know, hundreds of times, then it's going to probably be interesting to other people.
You really just have to go with what you think is going to be entertaining. If it's entertaining to you, you have to go by that, because you can't take anybody else's word for it.
Exactly. And then you get feedback, you know. I mean, I was showing the film when, you know, when it was ready to people, to just make sure that rule of thumb actually was true.
Yeah.
And then get notes and keep working on it.
Now, where is this movie available now?
So it's opened in New York and L.A. in theaters. It's playing in some great theaters, and it's going to be kind of rolling out nationally and in theaters in every kind of major city. So it's exciting, and you know, people are starting to check it out.
And would you hope to do another one? Or is this, you know, one and done? You sound like it was a pretty laborious effort.
Yeah, but it was so rewarding. I mean, the film's been, you know, to Cannes, Telluride, Toronto, New York Film Festivals, AFI, winning audience awards. It's been, I can't tell you how lucky and appreciative I am. It's been an incredible experience. The movie's getting out there, and so many people have seen it and really, really enjoy it. So, I mean, that's rewarding, a lot of work, but ultimately it can be incredibly rewarding. So, I mean, listen, I'm going to think twice before I choose the subject that I do, because it is so, it takes so much out of you and so many years, but I'm definitely going to do another one.
Now, I know it runs 85 minutes. Is it important in the documentary field to have it under an hour and a half?
I mean, I guess that's kind of a rule of thumb. I think especially these days, people have less of an attention span and everyone's busy, so... I like shorter movies too, just in general. So you got to respect the audience, and that's generally true for docs.
Now, did you have any cooperation with the Russian authorities? Did you travel there, and were they accepting of what you were trying to do?
Not really. I mean, I don't think anyone knew what I was doing. But at that time, you know, there wasn't any problem traveling there, and I don't know if there is now. But I never had any problems. I know people asked me a number of times what I was doing, you know, and I just basically would say I'm making a hockey movie. So they were like, oh, okay, well, you know. But the truth is that there's a lot of Russian history and politics and you know, really unique stuff in this film.
Did you get a chance to show it at the NHL All-Star get-together?
Yeah, I did. I showed it to, you know, a lot of people there, and you know, it's starting to penetrate the hockey market, and people are really excited about it there.
I would think the people in Detroit would love to see this, too, because Fetisov was such a big part of their Stanley Cup win.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they're all rattled up there, and Scotty Bowman, who was the coach there, is talking incredibly highly of the film and telling everybody there, so they're really excited. And Gretzky's been talking about the film very positively, and so I think where we're getting in the hockey market.
Now, you didn't use any of the new technology like the GoPro camera type of thing to get the close to the ice shots or anything?
No, because a lot of it's archival, you know, so I didn't use that. I know that they're doing that right now, but it wasn't necessary for this film.
Well, listen, Gabe Polsky, it sounds very, very interesting, and for those of us who really enjoy hockey at every level, it looks like something that we really have to get our hands on. So we'll look for Red Army in a theater near us soon, and then I'm sure it'll come out on DVD and Netflix or whatever eventually, right?
Yeah, but I just want to emphasize that it's not a hockey movie. It's a movie that people who don't care about sports or hockey really, really enjoy, so...
Okay.
I recommend it to those people, too.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Gabe Polsky, thank you for a couple of minutes, and all the best with Red Army.
Take care.
With director Gabe Polsky of Red Army, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 800-568-5857 because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-568-5857. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-568-5857. That's 800-568-5857.